Third hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase. I shouldn't have said the rain has left. Tarp is back on the field here at First Horizon Park.
Perfectly timed by the grounds crew. They get the tarp back on just minutes before the shower starts.
And then the rain comes. It looks like just like a cell right over us, right?
Yeah, just a little shower here. It's going to be scattered. It's going to be all right. It
looks right over us.
Well, let's go
to... treated the field.
The
field's in good shape.
The Storm Game 5000 weather radar, and at the Game Weather Center. Yeah, we got a little bit of a little cell that's just right over First Horizon Park right now, and some patchy cells, so it could be some scattered showers. Nothing too bad that could be moving through here, but I think they'll be good for the game tonight. But it gave them time to get the field ready and then put the tarp back on, and they're good to go.
Is this code red?
No, we're not in a code red.
No?
No, I don't think we're in a code red. I think we're good.
That's for Doug. Remember Doug called in? He did not like code red. He said, too many things code red. That was for Doug. By the way, you can join us in partnering, or you can join us because we've partnered up with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings the light to darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we plan to raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual. It will take place on November 4th. You can learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Once again, that website, lightthenight.org/TN. Should have Tim Hasselbeck here with us shortly. We can get into all things NFL. The taunting thing has been brought up a lot. It was brought up, as you heard, we played Mike Vrabel live today before practice, and there's been a lot of taunting calls in the first couple weeks, but you know how this works. Leagues can say whatever they want about something. It always starts to go down, right? Like, there's always like a heavy emphasis, and then...
because it's the new thing.
It starts to dwindle away. The players get it. The players understand. Some are late to understand. That's why I think people just need to realize they didn't just do this secretly. I will guarantee you that the Seahawks or any team that had a guy called for it had a referee come to practice, and they probably took everybody in the film room and they showed several clips of this is what we're calling.
Right.
If you do this, we are calling an unsportsmanlike conduct call for taunting.
Well,
so if you do this, you're going to get a flag. And if you're listening in that meeting and you understand it, then you're okay.
Here is my point.
If you were falling asleep in that meeting and you weren't paying attention,
here's the thing, though, Willie.
You get nailed.
It's easy for us to sit here and say that because what you're saying is factually correct and true, and I'm sure teams have done that. But here has been my problem with it the last 2 days on the show. It's a very, very emotional game, okay? These guys are not robotic. It's a very, very physical. So both of them get two varies. Very physical, very, very. Very, very emotional, okay? And through the course of a game, you've got matchups. And these matchups have physicality and words being said constantly. Constantly. It's not silent out there. Just for anybody who's never been on the sidelines, never been down there, they do talk to each other. And there's a lot of things said, and it's not, hey, how's the wife doing? Right. How are the kids?
Right.
What are you doing after the game? You want to go get something? It's not that. It is, in a lot of cases,
it's a trash talk.
You are talking smack constantly to each other. And so
that's not where the flags
want all this stuff to go on. And then you make a big play when you two, like the last time he caught a ball on you, he was saying in your ear constantly, like, I'm going to do this to you all day. You suck.
That's not what they're flagging
whatever.
For.
And then you make a play, and because you looked at him, and you're like, not today, not this play, whatever you say.
That's a different category.
That's taunting.
That's not trash. The back and forth trash talking, the emotion back and forth, that's part of the game. But when a guy is down, and you stand over him.
He didn't stand over
him. He did stand over him.
He did not stand over him. He looked at him, and you can't make eye contact.
He said something.
Can't make eye contact. So?
That's taunting.
So he can't say.
He was shown the clip.
I guarantee you that clip is in that.
And then the play is over, then you can no longer say anything. Like, be a robot.
That was a classic example of what they're trying to get
out. That's what you want him to be, a robot?
But here's the thing.
You have to get that out of the game. It's just like the headshots over the middle. You have to call it.
Willie, this is where the phoniness of the NFL comes in, to play, and really all leagues. It's because what you're saying here is, in between the trenches, before the play and everything, I can trash talk. I can chirp you all I want.
Yes.
It's like, hey, whatever. You know, your mama's so fat. Like, you can tell all those jokes. Like, whatever. You can trash talk. You can chirp. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But when the camera's on you after the play, mm-hmm. where all the little kids watching.
You can't do it.
Where all the little kids are watching.
That's where we draw the line.
Right.
Yep.
It's the
actions. It's not just the words. It's the motion when a guy's down.
I understand.
That's classic taunting.
Why did he get? Does he getting his feelings hurt? Because you're looking over him. Like what are they trying to prevent?
Listen, you guys know as well as I do. There's a difference. You know it when you see it. You've been watching football for a long time.
Right. What the camera's not on.
Did you think that was taunting? Did you think that deserved a flag?
I thought it was a tic tac, but because it is a rule, because it is a point of emphasis.
It wasn't.
It's
taunting.
No doubt it. It's it a no doubter.
It wasn't taunting.
It wasn't taunting in 2000. It wasn't even 2015. Probably
it wasn't taunting in 2020.
It's 2021.
No, it was.
Well,
it was taunting.
I know, but not. This but is I, not. But I feel like there's.
It's not a new rule this year.
It's the trendy right. When but it's the trendy
it's
rule that
point,
we're going to care about. Right.
Point
now.
Of emphasis.
It's the beginning of seasons.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Point of when we watched the Michael Jordan documentary. Did you see some hand-checking by the defenders? A ton. That's what they did back then. It was accepted. It wasn't in the rules, but there was a year they decided, you know, we're tired of watching 83-79 games, and we're not going to let the defender hand-check anymore. And they had to call that, and I'm sure it was really shocking for the defenders. Man, all I did was put my hand on the guy.
Well, Mike Fratello said, man, we'd love to get to 83.
I know. He was playing games 60s.
In the 60s.
Yes. So they wanted to free up the motion and let people move around a little bit more. And so they had a point of emphasis. Every sport goes through this to break the habits of the players. They want to get certain things out of the game. The headshots is another one. People tackle differently now. People go over the middle differently.
Do you think they're getting it right in college for targeting?
No. Yes. I think they have gone through this cycle.
Yes.
Yes. No. I think they have changed the habits of tacklers.
They're not.
For sure. And now I think that they've gotten those habits changed, that it's time to change the penalty or, you know, the severity of the foul now. Because I think players know that they can't headhunt anymore.
I know. But the whole thing with going back to taunting for a second. And I agree. There are, like, you know, the throat slasher. There are some
right,
things,
there's things
that you're
once
crossing
again,
the
it's
line.
Common sense. Like,
right.
Use common sense. And like, you can't do certain things. What happened on Sunday, that's not why the rule is in place.
But what I want the NFL and other leagues
point of
to
emphasis
do,
means there's going to be some cheapies.
I know. Let me finish. What I want the NFL and the other leagues to do is to just say, hey, we're out for our image, too, and we want to clean this game up from that point of view, and don't be phony about it. Because if you're saying that, okay, you can trash talk and chirp all you want before the play when the camera's not zoomed right in and seeing everything, and now you're saying, okay, the camera's zoomed in on what just happened on the play, we don't want to see, you know, somebody taunting because it's a bad image. Like, just say that, because that's why you're doing this.
I think we've got Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, how much you heard. Pretty heated discussion on taunting. I think we were taunting each other. Probably would have been flagged if this were Sunday. A lot of chatter about taunting. Mike Vrabel was hit with it sideways, forwards, backwards. He was tired of answering the taunting question today. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the first couple of weeks, the taunting calls in the league?
I think the calls have been bad. I mean, I think the idea of what they're trying to eliminate, I don't really have a problem with. I mean, I think that, you know, what they're trying to eliminate, guy making a catch over a guy and feeling like you know, he's got to spin the ball right on top of him and let him know, you know, how awesome he is and how bad that guy was on that play. Like, you know, I generally think it's fine to kind of try to eliminate some of that type of stuff. But, like, there's also kind of general excitement in the area that a play is made that, you know, should be permissible. So I think the intent of what they want to eliminate is good. I think that the way it's been executed has been really bad. And so, look, I've seen youth football players run down the field holding up a peace sign as they're going in the end zone. Like, truthfully, like, I don't think that we want to cultivate any of that in the sport of football. But I do think that, you know, if a guy makes a big hit or runs somebody over, like, he should be excited about the play that he made.
But I mean, was Lamar Jackson taunting Kansas City when he did a cartwheel into the end zone on Sunday night?
Right. No, I don't. I don't think that he was. But I think that, like, for example, like, there are a lot of people that think that should be officiated as taunting. So like in college football, I believe that's a foul in college football.
Yeah, you can't do that. So Tim, let me ask you this, because you've been at these things. I as an announcer for hockey, they show the broadcasters points of emphasis, right? You've been in there, right? You as a broadcaster, I'm sure you get these video clips.
Yeah,
this is going to be a penalty this year. That mm-hmm. So to me, that's a separate discussion. I think we can argue what we think taunting is, but when the league says, here are some clips, if you do this, we're going to call it, and you know the first few weeks of the season, they're going to be extra sensitive on it. That's where I don't have any sympathy for the guys who are on the borderline there.
Oh, you're totally correct. I mean, here's the thing about it. Like, we can all say we don't like it. Players, fans, coaches. The reality is when it gets to this point, the rule's been changed. And when the rule gets changed, Willie, you're right. They tell all the broadcasters, look, this is a point of emphasis. Okay, all right, here we go. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Hey, the offensive tackle is lining too far up, you know, too far back in the backfield. Like, you know, his helmet needs to break the waist of the guard. Like, so when they do that, and that's a point of emphasis, they're going to be tight calling it. Offsides on kickoff team, they're going to be calling it. Like, all of those things, they're going to be, you know, a little bit of more aware of. Think about when, you know, the roughing the passer stuff, you know, really, really started to kind of take shape in terms of can't hit a quarterback in his head. It's got to be forcible contact. Well, listen, there were a lot of penalties on somebody, you know, with like touching somebody's helmet when it wasn't forcible contact, but it was a point of emphasis. So it was like, look, guys, we're going to overcorrect this so you stop doing it. And that's just what's happening.
I need to make you aware of a situation that's going on with this show. There's someone who's trying to, like, kind of replace you, you know, kind of move in on your territory as kind of like the BFF of this show, just to be perfectly honest. And it's Michael Rapaport.
Yeah, I'm not gonna let that happen.
But I just want you to be aware of it because, you know, like my dogs, they go out back and, you know, one – Mark's, you know, a spot. The other one's got to go over there and mark that spot. I'm just saying that it's he's now just calling into the show on his own and just wanting to chat.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm
so
just
if
telling.
If I would have had a guess, I was going to guess it was Dilfer, okay? Like, I was going to guess it was Trent, but
nope. It's Michael Rapaport.
Here's the deal. Chase is a loyal friend, okay? Like, you don't worry about those things. Here's what happened. Like, other people try to come in and divide you, you know, do that stuff. That's what they try to do. It's like a jealousy thing, okay? And so, like, you're trying to stir this up right now, but, like, I know the type of friend that Chase is. I'm not concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Listen. Right.
Well, I'm just putting it on the record, just so you know.
Listen, I mean, we vacation together. Mm-hmm. We, you know, he's got secret access to the ACC network through me, you know.
I do.
We're good.
Listen, a friend of mine sent me a picture of a 2001 Tim Hasselbeck rookie card for the Baltimore Ravens.
See? I mean,
it's a nice card, by the way.
It is a nice card. Look, see, I'm showing these guys right now. They see that it's true.
Right, but if if all that Tim said is true, you would have that.
Yeah, I did.
In your
I bought it.
Cave,
I purchased
he would have,
it.
Right, but he would have personally signed it.
Well,
to
he
you.
Will. I just got. I mean, I just purchased it for $2.50, and now Tim is going to.
You overpaid by about $2.
What does that value go up if he personally signs it? What do you think it's worth on the market?
At least $10.
At least? You wow. Four times?
He's a big star. He's a big deal on ESPN.
No, I'm just trying to get a good grasp of so four times. Okay.
I think so.
All right.
They're like, look, that's what friends do, okay? See, friends do things like pay 250 times more what something is really worth to help a friend out. It's like, look, I've been at like a silent auction for a school before, and like say a friend donated a jersey, and it's got like no bids on it. I'll be like, hey,
yeah, not much action.
Your jersey's here, and it doesn't have a single bid. Like, what are you willing to pay for your own jersey? Put $500 down on them. I got it. Okay, there you go. You know, just to like save a little face.
Yeah.
See, that's what true friends do.
That is a great friend.
Well, or
right
just
there.
To get the bidding going. You know, it's
yeah,
just to get it
to
going.
To try to stimulate things.
Yeah, you got to get things going sometimes.
Or just save yourself total embarrassment or save your buddy some embarrassment.
Yeah.
Like, did this, you know, whatever. I'll use my brother as the example, not that it's happened with him. But like, hey, your jersey is literally going for $7 right now. Like, that's really embarrassing. I think the jersey itself was $150. What do you think about throwing $500 on it? Okay, deal. Let's go.
All right, let's play make believe on television. We're all on the set of NFL Live, and we ask you, Derrick Henry today is what? How do you describe Derrick Henry today? His body of work to this point. Just take it where however you want.
Oh, like if you just said, I would say I think he's one of the most, I don't know, three feared backs in the NFL. Maybe the number one feared back if you talk to defenders. Like I think that's how people feel about him. I think people are scared to death to have a whole afternoon filled with Derrick Henry.
Well, who else would be in his category? I'm curious. Who are the other two backs?
Yeah, you know, in terms of good backs that, I was just kind of without thinking, like, is there somebody else that would be on that list? Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, in terms of people that like scared to death to have to tackle him, I don't know that there's another back like him. Like people are afraid to defend Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah,
because I mean, it's so hard to
different
defend.
Yeah, like, different
totally
approach.
Agree,
yeah.
But like in terms of his style, no, there's nobody that's his style. You know, in terms of having to defend him.
If
I think
he
there
goes
are
for if
that are hard to defend.
If he goes for two, by the way, he's back on pace again and he's back to leading the league and if he wins the rushing title three consecutive years and goes for 2K again, which obviously no one's ever done, what does that do for his resume? His forever resume?
Oh, I think you start talking about him the way that And everyone knows that these windows for running backs are typically short. You know, I think it really changes the narrative about it. If you take back, guys, even Mike Vrabel's first year, it was like, how are they using him? Like, I think they handed the football to Luke Stocker one time, you know, down in the goal line.
That was a fourth and one play, by the way. Fourth and one.
Yeah. Like, I think that there's an element of, like, it completely changes the narrative in terms of, you know, what he's been and, you know, what he was in his career, and it wasn't consistent throughout a whole season. Well, like, it's starting to change now that it's like, got a new contract, he's the running back, and they're going to treat him like he's the lead back all the time. So, yeah, I mean, you definitely start putting him in a conversation of like, wait a second, no one's ever done that before? Like, that's a big deal.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, we've been trying to delve into the Colts, and I'm trying to figure out one of the things that has been a big theme up there of frustration is they have invested a ton of money in their offensive line, and it hasn't come through for them in these first two games, even though they've played against some pretty tough defensive fronts, especially last week against the Rams. So what is your assessment there of of this Colts team that's coming in. I think you're going to see a super desperate team that's a lot better than 0-2.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The problem is like you might see them with a quarterback that may not give them a chance, you know, to play winning football. So, you know, offensive line, defense, talent on their roster in general. I'll go, if Jacob Eason starts that football game, the Titans can't lose it. Like that. That's something that can.
You really don't think that he has anything to offer?
No, I mean, Eason. Like, I think he has something to offer, but like when I say can't, like they shouldn't lose that game. Like they just, because I do think there's an element with him where you know where he's going to be. He's not a guy that can move around great. So like you, like that's something you can plan on. And, you know, he doesn't have the experience and the pre-snap ability that other guys that can't move have. So, yeah, like, you know, I know last week we were talking about we might see two 0-2 teams and something's going to drop to 0-3. Look, the Titans are in a situation now where they get a chance to play what I thought was going to be the best team coming into this year in their division, and to get them without Carson Wentz and really struggling. Like, I think that there's a – and listen, you might get an injured Carson Wentz who doesn't make it through the game. Like, I think there are a lot of things setting up for the Titans where it's like, look, it's early, but this could be a really big deal in terms of what you do in this football game.
I think we're going to be talking about that type of thing all week. I guess my next question then, Tim, is – do you think that it actually can be a tough thing? We see so many unexpected games in the NFL each week. I think this is something I could sense it with Mike Vrabel in his press conference today that you have to guard against is to not get overconfident when everybody's saying, oh, here come the Colts, maybe without their quarterback, they're 0-2. Sometimes that's when you get nicked, is when you're maybe feeling too good about yourself.
Yeah, it's pro football, right? So, like, you know, go walk through the locker room and put the mouse trap in, you know, in everyone's locker, you know, and remind them, like, yes, this is pro football. I mean, we don't have to look any further back than week one, right? I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, okay, we got Ryan back. We got, you know, guys on our offensive line are healthy and we're back and here we go. We're going to play Arizona. Got to come out here. It's going to be great. And get embarrassed, get run off the field, Green Bay, in a similar fashion. We're like, I don't think that was representative of who the Titans really are as a team or who the Packers really are as a team. But it can happen in the NFL. Like, these guys are still pros. You know, we were talking about Aaron Rodgers on SportsCenter earlier this morning. Think about this, okay? The last 3 years, he's thrown 99 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. It's been total domination of the NFL from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. But in that sample size, he has a game against last year against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers where he throws for 160 yards only and two interceptions and they lose. He has a game in 2019 where he throws for 106 yards against the 49ers and his offense scores 8 points. Like, you know, like it can happen in pro football, even with the best players and even with the best teams.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So I want to take the 2-0 teams through 2 weeks, but put the Rams and the 49ers aside because I think we all knew what they were going in or felt like we knew what they were going in. But between the Panthers that are 2-0, the Cardinals, the Broncos, and who am I missing? And put the Bucs aside too because we know what they were. You think which of those teams do you think are actually for real, or it's just a result of the teams they played through 2 weeks?
So you're saying basically between the Raiders and Carolina, right?
And Cardinals.
Yeah, well, listen, I think you guys know how I have felt about Kyler Murray. Like, I've kind of pumped him as a guy that could win the MVP. I think he's that hard to defend. I really, really do. I think natural reaction, you know, I get a little nervous when I see somebody talk about they don't want to play in the preseason and play the way he did in the preseason. But I think he's a superstar. And I think when you have a superstar at quarterback, I think you've got a really, really good chance. 11 rushing touchdowns last year. He's already got, was he have two or is he have four this year? He's got a ridiculous amount this year already. He's just so hard to defend. Like, we saw it, you know, against the Titans week one. Like, he's so fast. He's a better passer than any other quarterback that we've seen that's been that fast. So Lamar Jackson's fast like that. Michael Vick's fast like that. But neither one of those guys were the same type of passer, especially early in their career, that he is. So I think that's a team that's really, really dangerous.
Okay, good answer. And Sam Darnold, somebody we've talked to you about too, he sits at 2-0 right now. Now, granted, I understand the Jets the first week, but are you buying that combination with Matt Rhule?
Yeah, I think Rhule's a good coach. I think they're building it the right way, and I think that you know, for Darnold, I'm not surprised that he's had some of the success. I think the thing now that, like, we really don't know, and it's because of what we've seen throughout his career, obviously in a much different situation, is like, is there going to be a roller coaster with this, or is this who he is? Like, are we going to get, if we see consistent play out of him, which I think we can, I think we may, then look, yeah, that's going to be a dangerous team. Obviously, division's tough, but like, I think that'd be a, like, here's the thing with Sam. Sam's good is really good. His bad has been really, really bad. But does the bad get eliminated with Matt Rhule, that coaching staff, and away from the Jets organization surrounded with better talent? I mean, we're just talking, you know, brought up Christian McCaffrey. Like, look, if McCaffrey's touching it 23 times a game, like, I think Darnold's going to end up playing pretty well.
And then real quick, Justin Fields has been named the starter for the Bears with Dalton hurt. I don't see him giving that job back. I think we've all talked about that of, you know, why wait? Just go ahead and do it. How do you think it's going to turn out with the rookie Fields now being the starter?
See, that's why we're best friends. When you see things the same way and you're like-minded, you can be best friends. Like, I mean, look, I've thought that he should have been the starter from the jump. I think he's a really good player. You know, I don't love the supporting cast in Chicago, but so I think there's going to be growing pains. But he's ready. He should be playing. You get better quicker by playing, not watching. And so I'd be surprised if he ever gives that job back.
Yeah, we have Michael's personal number. He gave it to us. So just letting you know. I feel like you kind of take us for granted a little bit here lately. It just kind of feels that way.
Wow.
So that's why I wanted to let you know.
Wow.
Saying, we've got his personal number if you need it.
I'm literally on SportsCenter texting Chase. I'm like, hey, listen, breaking news on Justin Fields. I'm still on TV. I'm going to call you as soon as I'm off TV. And he's like, you know, I mean, he basically just gives me fist bump emoji. And I
like, we good, bro.
Right when I get in. Like, and you think I'm blowing you off? Like, I mean, crazy.
Tim, he's trying to drive us apart, okay? It's just, it's not going to happen.
That's what I mean.
It's not going to happen.
Home wrecker.
Hashtag wedge. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Right. See you, fellas.
He's not going to be the one that's always going to poke and prod. He needs to know that.
Oh, I know.
He cannot. It's got to be a two-way street.
I know.
He's been doing a lot of poking and prodding. But that's why we love him.
That's right. It's all we good love fun. It's what we do.
There is a lot going on right now, by the way. A lot. It is amazing the Aaron Rodgers, how he is. I mean, he's a lightning rod, isn't he?
Well, of course. I mean,
did you see his press conference? We'll talk about that on the other side. By the way, we've got Derek Mason. We're going to talk to him about A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, some receivers on the Titans, some receivers in the league, maybe some guys that get off to a slow start. How do you change that narrative? Josh Reynolds, I mean, what is he moving forward? We'll get into all that with D-Mace at 1 o'clock. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase. But first, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at DraftKings. Yep, you've heard me talking about them. DraftKings Sportsbook. the official sports betting partner of the NFL, and they're kicking off yet again another week of action. Another Thursday night game tomorrow night, Carolina and Houston, full slate of action over the weekend. And right now they're going to give all new customers a can't-miss offer. Listen to this. All you have to do is bet a dollar on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly, no matter what. It's that easy. This football season, all customers can also swing big. Listen to this new feature. DraftKings has the same-game parlays. Yes, same-game parlays, which allows you to combine multiple bets for a bigger payout. This week, place a same-game parlay on any NFL game, and you'll be credited up to $25 if your bet loses. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME and receive $150 in free bets instantly when all you have to do is just place a $1 bet on any football game. That code again, 1025GAME. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.